Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Snap Out of It Radio Network. Hear all our great shows across the world. Join our community at snapoutofitradionetwork.com. So wake up, stand up, and snap out of it. Empowered Love with author, self-mastery coach, and relationship expert Melanie Tanya Evans. Take back your power, heal your soul, and set yourself free. Free through Empowered Love. And now your host of Empowered Love, Melanie Tanya Evans.
Hi everyone, this is Mel. Welcome to another show. Great to have you all back again, and I'm conducting this from Melbourne, Australia, and we've had some really bizarre weather. We've had lots of heat, we've had lots of rain, which is just such a godsend, and we're cold and rainy at the moment, and it's our summer, and I've got the heater on, and I've got a cold, so if I have to stop and blow my nose or whatever, please, please excuse me, but it's all good. Regardless of whether I've got a cold or not, I'm inspired, and there's just incredible things happening for so many of us. And you know what these shows are all about? It's about inspiring and empowering ourselves and creating our life from the inside out to the reality that we really, really want to create. So welcome, everybody. All of the overseas listeners and the Australian listeners. And as you know, you can always pick up these shows if you miss them in archives later. And I really encourage you to save this show as a favorite so that you can get notified and you always know what's going on with these shows, because we've got some great stuff coming up. And today's show is hugely important, and I'm really excited about doing this show, because really this show encapsulates so much of what I do and what I believe in and my mission. And my mission really is to empower women that have suffered painful love, that are still in painful love, to be able to change their world and their life to loving themselves and creating the love experience that we all totally deserve. So today's show, we're talking about narcissism. And we're talking about this huge society issue that really, as women, it's either affected us or we know of a woman that it has deeply disempowered and created a lot of pain and devastation in her life. And in the past, before I went through my own narcissistic relationship, I used to be on the outside looking in and hearing women broken and complaining and really being quite crazy, and I think, well, leave him, get out of it. What on earth are you doing to yourself? But you know what? It wasn't until I was in that situation myself, and I was a very intelligent, capable, creative woman, and I thought I had my world under control, and I thought I honored and loved myself, and then I too found myself stuck in the pain and the devastation. I found myself hooked up to it. I found myself being destroyed on every single level in my life. And I really didn't know how on earth I was going to let go and get on with my life. And I know from the emails and the phone calls that I get every single day, I know that there are so many women out there that felt like I felt, who were still stuck in that situation. And I know how common this is. And I also know that for many of you, you really feel like nobody understands. Nobody can fathom what you're going through or understand how it feels to you. And it does seem really logical. If you're not happy, leave him. But why is it that we can't leave him? Why is it that we're so stuck in these situations? Well, today, we're going to be talking to one woman in particular, who I do know very well, who her story is similar to so many people's stories, and it's similar to my story. And this particular lady has done a spectacular job of liberating and recreating her life from a point where it was extremely difficult to do that. And so, you know, very, very soon we're gonna pick up with her, and her and I are going to be having a conversation, which I believe is going to be very, very inspirational for those of you that are out there that are just thinking, this is hopeless. I can't really be here. I know I have to get out, and I know I have to start again, but I'm just too terrified and broken and hooked and addicted to this to be able to do that. So just to reiterate my journey with narcissism and what where I ended up being with narcissism, I absolutely was looking for a solution. I didn't want to let go. I 100% did not want to burst the bubble of this belief that I had that this relationship was for life, that's why I committed to it, and that what had first presented to me looked like my fairy tale. It looked like everything I had always wanted. And, you know, I was in my 30s at the time, and I thought, this is the person I want to settle with, I want to create my whole life with, and I've come home. He's perfect. He's everything I ever wanted. And this is so consistent with narcissism, is that in virtually every case, that's what it feels like when you meet the narcissist. They're charming. They seem to present you with all of your answers to everything you've ever wanted, and you really absolutely fall in love and what you think is love. But as time goes by with the narcissistic experience, things start showing up that don't make sense. There's this uneasiness around it. There's this behavior. There's this inability to be accountable and take responsibility, and you start seeing the cracks. You start seeing the things that aren't right, and your body tells you, because very, very soon you start feeling uncomfortable. You know there's something not right. And what happens is, over a period of time, you insidiously start getting broken down. And then what happens is, this person that really idolized you and put you on this pedestal of adoring you will actually start demeaning you, diminishing you, and projecting their self onto you. And what happens in so many narcissistic relationships is we start questioning ourselves. We start questioning reality. We start being out of focus. We're putting this focus on this other human being because it's so unpredictable that we start losing ourselves piece by piece by piece. We hand over our power. We end up losing our boundaries. We start tolerating behavior that we never, ever believed that we could tolerate. And the whole time we're in it, we're trying to fix and change this person and get back to some sort of safety and semblance of the relationship we thought we had. And it's a losing battle. We're damned if we do. We're damned if we don't. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to justify and explain, and we're trying to get this person to get that we actually really are an honest person, we are a loving person, we are a good person. No, we're not looking at that guy down the street. No, we're not having this affair. No, we're not, no, we're not, no, we're not. And this person has absolutely no resources to get who we are, because they certainly don't get who they are. There's a total fascination with narcissism, and what I really recommend anybody who's listening to this that already hasn't, please go to my website and have a look at the articles on narcissism so that you can get a much more clearer understanding of what narcissism is, and also have a look at the articles on codependency so you can understand your part in it. Because codependents are usually nice people, but they're also usually people that really don't have a firm sense of self. And I certainly did not have a firm sense of self before my narcissistic relationship. So where I ended up with narcissism, I ended up 38 kilos. I'm now a healthy 54. I ended up with post-traumatic stress disorder, agoraphobia, and a complete psychotic breakdown. I was minute-to-minute suicidal. And I was actually diagnosed because my adrenal system was shot to pieces. I was actually diagnosed as needing 3 years complete rest and 3 antipsychotic drugs to take for me to survive. Fortunately, I didn't go down that track. Fortunately, I found the solutions, I took responsibility, and I stopped blaming life and the bad deal and the bad man, and I took responsibility for my part in it and how to heal and empower myself. Well, I am so glad I did, because that was the greatest gift in my life that I've never taken responsibility for. So since then, my life is astounding. I know self-love, I know self-worth. My life is filled with credible, beautiful people. I learned how to accept support, and I learned how to honor myself. So I really believe fully that the narcissistic experience is a make or break situation. We can either stay a victim, or we can do the work and we can actually empower ourselves through it. So this is what today's show is all about, is that we're actually going to be talking to people that, and I really ask and urge anybody out there who would like to ring in any stage of this show, please do, and I will pick you up. You can talk to myself and Rachel, and, you know, we will work with you on this. It'd be lovely if you've also if you've moved from victim to survivor to thriver, and you can share that experience with other women to inspire them, or maybe you're a person that is still stuck and you're needing some help and some inspiration to move on. So please, I really would love you to ring in if you would like to share or get some assistance on this. So what I'm going to do is I'm now going to bring Rachel on, and we're going to talk, and I'm really, really hoping that her experience is going to be something that a lot of ladies out there can really relate to. So, Rachel, are you there?
Hi, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm great. Welcome on Empowered Love. It's so good to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You are more than welcome. So, Rachel, what I'd love you to do is to share with the listeners what your experience about narcissism was.
Well, I've had a 17-year relationship with one, so I'm pretty experienced actually, but it was a 3-year intimate one. It started actually very early in the piece where I started to experience physical abuse, and then the emotional, the psychological abuse sort of slipped in amongst all of that, which totally did my head in, really. I guess the physical abuse was things like being kicked, being punched, I got bitten on my cheek once, I got spat at, I got threatened to be killed. It was pretty violent at times, and it would come totally out of the blue and unexpected, and it was very, very painful. Along with all the emotional confusion that came with it, because a lot of things that you've been saying are absolutely spot on for me as well, in terms of trying to fix him, trying to get him to see that I am a good person and that I do love him. And, there was a lot of absolute confusion. I didn't understand. A lot of basic needs that I had that he wasn't able to meet. Like, for instance, I was thinking about it the other day when I was pregnant and we'd got off a train, and it was probably a 10-minute walk to his place, and I needed to go to the toilet. Well, that caused a major argument. That's how simple and stupid when it's totally irrational. And yeah. I just needed to go to the toilet, and off he went on a big spin. You know, you can walk the 10 minutes. And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm pregnant. I need to go now. And it was just a massive argument in the main street, and it didn't matter where we were, he would just go off.
And look, Rachel, isn't that, I know so many women can relate. This is what I hear all the time, and this is, I mean, I had a conversation on the phone with a woman yesterday who, and we all did this, where we would just go into the story constantly of the irrationality of narcissism. How could he do this? Why did he say that? What was that about? Normal people don't act like this, normal adults. And this is what does our head in and keeps us hooked, because that's
what
the story when
wrong?
We're in there, and when we haven't recovered, we tell anyone who'll listen, we run it through our heads 50 times, and the thing is, law of attraction states, whatever you're focusing on your energy on becomes a reality in your life. You become literally hooked and addicted to the insanity by trying to make sense out of it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And going around in circles. And the way they manipulate the whole situation to make it all your fault, and they take no responsibility for their actions whatsoever, and somehow it's all your fault, it's all your doing, and you're trying to make sense of that, and it just doesn't make
any
sense whatsoever.
Totally. And you're trying to fight for justice. It's like round 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 1,000, where you're in there going, hang on a minute, and it really does feel like, doesn't it, that you're trying to get a five-year-old to get
yes.
basic fundamentals, human concepts.
And they come across as being irrational, but then because of their manipulation and the way they turn it all around back on you, you take it all on in some way. And you look at yourself, but you can't find where it's going wrong in yourself, and it's total confusion.
And I think the thing is, too, that when you go to outside sources and you talk about it, what they're really hearing is a crazy woman.
Because, yeah, it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because, as you say, you know, I know before I entered in a relationship with this one that I was with, I'd said to myself, I'll never be in a relationship with someone who's physically violent. You know, they hit me once and that's it. And that was my attitude before going into this relationship. But then I stayed and stayed and experienced so much violence, you know, and I wasn't the person that I had been. I lost myself completely in it. And
exactly.
It is irrational, and it does go around in circles, and they don't understand why you're in that as well. But I know for myself, I was totally addicted to fixing him. I really tried so hard to fix him. I wanted to fix him. I knew I could. I knew I could help him. I could help him understand. And at times he would come across like he was and then flip back into the irrationality, the narcissistic tendencies.
Exactly. Exactly. And I remember so many times in my narcissistic relationship, you would hit that point, like you said, where they seem to come around and you
yes.
have a discussion and you think, it's like you breathe a sigh of relief and you go, oh, my God, thank goodness, you've got it. And then you wake up the next day and the same thing comes up again where he's blaming you for the same thing that was really what he was doing. And it's all back there, and you're like, hang on a minute, didn't we have that conversation yesterday?
Yeah.
Didn't we get that sorted? And it's like that conversation never took place. And
yep.
they will literally deny they said it, they'll lie
yep.
about that they said it, or they'll twist it
yep.
again.
Exactly. And, you know, what sucked me in a lot of the times too was when it was good, it was really good. It was beautiful. It was loving. It was intimate. And he was so soft and gentle and beautiful. And then, as you say, it would just flip. And you never knew when that was going to happen. And you'd be brought back into all the irrationality again, the justification. And as you say, the lies are the hardest ones, you know. That does your head in so much, exactly when they say, I didn't say that, you didn't say that, and blah, 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 you know.
And do you know what, Rachel, you are hitting on, I knew you'd be great for this, because you're hitting on exactly all the right points, and I love what you just really said there, is that he could be a delight. Now,
yeah.
this is what women need to understand, that narcissism is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when they are gorgeous, you could not ask for, on the surface or how it appears, you could not ask for a better, more delightful, loving, warm partner, could you?
Yep, exactly. And I love
it's
that
It's astounding.
Part. Yeah.
But do you know what? And this is what I'm really, really wanting to educate people about. There are two reasons why that is happening with the narcissist, and I'll tell you exactly what they are for all the listeners. One is, he is full of narcissistic supply. So he has had, during that day, he has mined enough attention, aren't you wonderful, aren't you great, that he is, his false self is full of himself, and he's got that from an outside source. So when he's like that, he is going to be loving, he is full of his drug. He's going to be loving, he is going to be full. It's no different to a drug addict or an alcoholic who has got his fill, who feels fantastic on the apex of that high. That's when narcissists are delightful. The other reason is, and I really hate to say this, but it is the truth, is because there's an agenda attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a reason for it. There's something he is going for to be like that. And this is what people need to understand, because I've actually worked with narcissists that have come forth that have wanted, like, they've hit that rock bottom and that narcissistic injury, and they've been really, really honest and open, and it doesn't stay like that for long. But this is the consistent thing they've all told me. And they've admitted to that, that that's why they're like it. So what it really, really equates to us as women is it's not real. If you're with a narcissist, it's not real. The other thing is that any healthy love relationship, real love, is durable, it's consistent. Of course, nobody is expected to behave perfectly all the time. We're all humans. But true, real, durable, healthy love does not have the things that narcissism brings. Regardless of how gorgeous he can be, on the surface, in those moments, if you look at the full package, it is incredibly damaging and is incredibly unhealthy, correct?
Absolutely. It did my head in for absolute years, the effects and being with someone like that. It really did my head in.
And the thing is, too, when you get out of it and when you get back to reality, it is just so clear, so clear that this is just not normal, sane behaviour.
Yeah, and I mean, as I said, I had a 17-year relationship with this one, and because I have a child to him, so the games continued on for many years. And I found that even though I got away from him and it did become clearer, there were still parts of me that still kicked in and got addicted to the arguing and the justifications again, because he'd still play absolute intimidation and threat and just really disrespectful behaviour communication. So it took me a while, to be honest, to really kick out of that pattern.
Okay, so Rachel, how did you? If you can just, because you know, you're a very aware woman, you've done the work, you've done the self-development on this, but if you could just share with the listeners, what do you believe the fundamentals are? Firstly, when did you and how did you decide to get out?
I went and had some counselling, and they were teaching a lot about choice and a lot about self-respect, so I think the fundamental part for me was realising that it was up to me to respect myself and not expect anyone else to do it for me. So that brought me then into laying boundaries. Pardon?
Hear, hear, sister.
Yeah, so it was actually learning to respect myself enough to go, you know what, I don't deserve that treatment anymore and I don't want it in my life anymore, which then also helped me to recognise that he was a great teacher for me, that there was a gift in it for me to learn something about myself. And the main one for me has been about speaking up and setting boundaries. So he taught me how to set boundaries. So it was simple things like he'd come to pick up Kyra and I set the boundary that he wasn't allowed to be in my home. And he could go to the front door, but that was it. And at first he would come into my home and be intimidating and threatening, and you know, I used to shake inside just to speak up and say, you're not allowed in my home, you cannot come in. And eventually because I stood my ground, he didn't come into my home from that point on. Another one was, you know, he'd come to pick her up late, we'd arrange to meet somewhere, and he'd be 20, 30 minutes, sometimes an hour late, and I'd be sitting there going, I'm waiting because I love my daughter and I want my daughter to see her father. But it was totally disrespectful to both of us, until finally I said, if you turn up late again, I won't be there.
Yeah.
And so he did it, and I left. And and he didn't get to see his daughter that time, and then he learnt to be on time. So it was another boundary. There's so many boundaries.
And this is huge. This is massive, because what happens with the narcissist is they violate your boundaries, and they're master manipulators at doing it. And how the narcissist works consciously and unconsciously is he doesn't want to play fair play. He doesn't want to be predictable, and he wants to hook you and throw you off balance so that he can actually get the feed of your fear or your confusion or your distress. So what happens is when women are dealing with the separation, because let's face it, and I want to be really clear about this too, it is virtually impossible, if not 100% impossible, that when you're living with a narcissist under the same roof that you can uphold boundaries. And I know with my ex-narcissistic relationship, and he was high level, but a lot of what we're talking about is, and it's really common, is that even when I had in-house intervention orders and all sorts of things in place, he would still manipulate, he would still cross lines, he would still do, it was, I would have to put security passwords on my computer, I would have to hide checkbooks, I would have to, I could not trust him to respect basic human rights. So really, the narcissistic drive is, I want to violate you, I want to control you, I want to throw you off balance, because that's how they operate with intimate partners that provide narcissistic supply. So there is no part of him that is going to stop trying to come up with a strategy to violate your boundary. And for you to be constantly holding boundaries is impossible. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. They try it on all levels. And the gift, once again, is for yourself to realise that you've got to keep holding and maintaining the boundaries, especially when you're separated. But in the end, I think I used to be totally hooked into, you know, still wanting to fix him, wanting to help him, you know, and you're absolutely right. There was no space for him to want to respect me, even up to, you know, the 17th year, which was a year ago, where I finally got him completely out of my life and I don't speak to him anymore because I finally set the last boundary because I finally realised he's never going to do it. Never.
Yep. Look, exactly. And the thing is, when women realise that there's no way out of this other than to empower yourself, respect yourself and set boundaries.
Yes.
And there are a lot of women out there terrified of doing it. I deal with them every single day. And these women are like walking on broken glass. I want to try and keep the peace. I don't
yep.
want to, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm trying to. And these are, you know, the women in there and the women that have left. And really what it means that he's still going to keep you hooked and walking on broken glass for the rest of your life until you realise that we're actually really, really lucky. Women in Western countries, we have got procedures and things that back us. And when we get clear and we stand up in our power, the whole thing shifts. I've seen it time and time again that the narcissist gets power off your fear. He's actually, and let's be clear, he's actually powerless stealing power. So what happens is when you stand up and you go, enough is enough, I'm not going to hook with you, I'm not going to argue with you, I'm not going to fight with you, I'm actually going to get clear and calm and direct, I'm going to do whatever it takes to lay boundaries. So I love what you said, you can't just walk into my house. I know women that have split up with narcissists and these men have still got keys to their houses, they're coming in anytime they want, they're doing whatever they want. They are violating your space whenever they want because narcissists believe they're entitled. They believe they're entitled to anything they want. They don't have respect for boundaries. But when you say, you know what, you can't come here and if you do, you're going to get an intervention order. And this is the way it goes and talk to the hand and I'm not going to argue with you, fight with you and I'm not going to explain to you the 30,000 reasons why I need to do this. No explaining, no justifying. That's my line. Get it. Now, the interesting thing is when women do this with narcissists and get out of the fear and the threats and the intimidation and the manipulation, the narcissist loses power very, very quickly.
I'd have to totally agree with that. And I'd have to say that it was because of doing the work with you and we did a lot of work on clearing those hooks and a lot of work on making boundaries and getting clear on what it is I do want and not what I don't want through looking at the laws of manifestation and looking at what I do want became a really important key. And what I wanted was absolute respect in my relationships and I still wasn't getting it. And so I'd have to say through doing a lot of work with you, Mel, that it got me to a point where I was really clear on what I wanted and I really got clear on the steps that I needed to take. And finally, he did it one last time where he did disrespect, and I did. I pulled in those measures and I went and got an intervention order, and it was actually really quite easy at that time. And I couldn't believe how long it had taken me to get to that point, because 17 years I'd put up with it, and now I'm totally free from it because I've broken the hook, and I've broken away from buying into his stuff and my stuff and into the fear of it all, and I am free now, and it feels absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and I remember back at that time, how long ago would that have been when we did that? Maybe a year and a half?
A year and a half, 2 years ago, I think.
I know time goes so quick, but I remember that time, and I remember, Rachel, you know, when, look, it hit that reality, and of course, your body, because this is what happens with narcissism. Your body, your DNA, your cellular structure, your peptides get so violated and messed up that all of the feelings are that insidious poison, that fear, that what's he going to do next? What he's gone quiet for a while. What does that mean? You're just living in this state of anxiety and fear. And I remember that even though you left him before I met you and this stuff was still going on, that was still in your body. But what we did is through the theta healing, we cleared it, we got it out, and we got you aligned and empowered with your integrity and your truth. And that's why, after doing that energetic shift, which I so recommend, don't do this stuff the hard way. Get the help. Because then when your body and your feelings were aligned with truth, it was easy for you to walk forward and step into truth, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah, and it was easy. That was I still even now go, I can't believe I waited this long, you know, because it was easy to do it. And when he did the last act of disrespect and breaking of boundaries, it was so clear that that's what he'd done to me. It was just so easy to recognise it because of the body relationship that I was having to the disrespect. My body told me, and I actually lost control in that last one because I just flipped and realised this is still going on now and I do not want it in my life, and this is it, it's done, it's over, never again. And it was really easy to go toward getting the intervention order and having him out of my life.
That's right, and this is why we've got to line up our body with our head. Because the thing is, in narcissism, and I know this was my situation, that I knew I had to get out. I knew it. And do you know what? As women, I don't care who we are, do you know what? We always know, but it's the emotions, it's the fears, it's the insecurities that go against. Our body is pointed in a completely different direction, and we're in this, forget the torture he's doing to us, which is horrific. But what about the torture we're living within ourselves because we know we have to do something, but we can't do it?
And I think bottom line also in taking responsibility for the karmic or whatever situation that you're in, it was all about me taking responsibility for my choices and how I felt about myself. And if I was feeling really low and down about myself, well, then it got reflected in the outer world, and that's what he reflected for me. I wasn't respecting myself, so he would then reflect it in the outer world. And so in the end, it was all about me. That's what I've come to realise as well in lots of it, you know. Me
and
to change.
It's really weird.
Yeah, me to change changes my outer world. My inner world reflects my outer world.
Spot on.
And that was huge because I didn't want to take responsibility for that. So I was very much a victim. Yeah, very much a victim. Because of the dynamics of what goes down, your self-esteem goes down the tube, and your self-respect goes down the tube, and your self-love more than anything goes down the tube. And so it's a long climb for me back to loving myself enough to know that I'm deserving for respect and love and, rational, beautiful interaction in my communications and relationships.
And honesty.
Absolutely. Honesty is the main key for me as well.
Okay, we've had one of the ladies in the chat room. Bridget, thank you so much for putting up some info. And Bridget just said that, you know, she's really identifying because she's in a relationship with a narcissist, like a lot of women out there are. Absolutely. I think you might have answered this, but she's gone, Rachel, what was the turning point, the defining point of when you knew it was time to end the relationship? I think you said before the counselling and you'd realised you needed to take responsibility.
Yeah, and it was in a counselling session with a different counsellor, and we've walked into the counselling session, and he's looked down, up and down at what I was wearing, and you could see the derision and the put down in his eyes, and I've just looked at that and I've gone, that was the defining moment. You don't even like the way I look. You don't like anything about me. Why are you with me and why am I with you? This just isn't going to work, and it's just, it's over. And that's when it was over. And
wow.
My daughter was probably 6 months old at the time, and yeah,
wow.
We were done from then on. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, I remember in my narcissistic relationship, because, of course, they belittle you, they put you down, they demean
yeah.
you, they accuse you of all sorts of things, they
yeah.
tell you. Really what the narcissist does is the aspects of himself that are disowned, that he doesn't want to own and heal, which is about his lack of honesty, about his manipulation, the way he treats people, you know, his perversions, and a lot of them are, his sexual addictions, a lot of them are. So what they will do, rather than own those aspects of themselves and deal with them, they'll line you up and project them onto you, and they will call you
yeah.
unfaithful and and not trustworthy and manipulative. And you,
yeah.
I remember my narcissistic ex-partner used to say, because I was a healer, you know, and I was working in this industry, and he'd say, you only do what you do for people for acclaim, so they can recognize you and think you're wonderful. And, you know, and really what he was saying was, these are the reasons I do this stuff. And
yeah.
and that's just, and then I did. I got to the point like you, where you just keep saying, if you really think that about me, why are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that sentence come out of so many women's mouths that are with narcissists, and I know everybody listening would go, hear, hear. I hear that all the time. So... It's just
because initially everything that attracted him about me was everything that he then tried to lock down and diminish and make
yeah.
me really small.
Yeah, exactly, because they're actually attracted to, it's really nice women get with narcissists. You usually have
yeah.
integrity, you're hardworking, you take responsibility. Okay, because what he's going for is the aspects he doesn't have within himself. So
yeah,
he's very
yeah.
attracted to that. And all the narcissists I've talked to have said they absolutely know who to go for. They do. And it is
yeah,
they
yeah.
absolutely pick their mark, which is so interesting. But, of course,
yeah.
then what happens is they're trying to steal and take your energy and your resources, but then there's this envy. And this envy is what they see in you, what they want, what they can't actually produce within themselves. They end up hating it.
Absolutely.
So they'll diminish it and rip it down. So now Bridget's just put up another question. Or they will seduce other women like mine does. Let's be very clear that generally, not all, but virtually all men that have narcissistic tendencies most definitely will sexually align with women for narcissistic supply. So you can pretty much bet that a narcissistic male is not into integrity and fidelity, and he actually doesn't have a conscience about it, and that is part of the model of narcissism, 100%.
And that was true in my situation as well.
And in mine.
And
in virtually
everything
I've ever dealt with.
Yeah, my intuition and body knew it, but he was so good at denying and lying and justifying, and that, you know, it would talk me around again, and yeah.
And then, of course, you may be accused of being insecure and jealous.
That's right. And that he would fly in rages, absolute rages, if I looked at anyone, you know, and he would do it in front of other people. He was that out of control when it would happen.
Okay, and again, women, a really huge warning sign is men that interrogate your sexual past, men that
yep.
are threatened by male friends, men that are jealous and insecure. And look, you know, in this journey of relationships, and it can be deceiving, you may meet a man that really doesn't have a lot of the narcissistic checkpoints, but if he, and he might have integrity and all sorts of things, but if he is still playing jealous, insecure, and needy, and questioning and interrogating, and this is a lesson that I defined only quite recently through personal experience and other research and whatever, if you have a man like that, he is still not sexually safe, okay? So he is still a person that is still looking on ego sexual feeds for his own insecurities, and this is why he's insecure about you. Now, I'm obviously talking about if you're a woman that does have integrity, as I absolutely do. Fidelity for me is sacrosanct. I absolutely endorse it in my life. But if you know that you're not a woman who is doing the wrong thing and you have a man that is really, really nervous and, you know, carrying on about it all the time, he is not a sexually healthy partner in any shape or form. Decent guys that have a sense of self trust. And people that trust are trustworthy. Like many women, many women that get with narcissists are very trustworthy women, and they do trust and they do believe in love and fidelity and doing the right thing. So it can be a massive shock when you're with a partner that starts questioning you, has these insecurities and starts projecting them at you. And of course, you can easily get hooked into justifying, explaining, being distressed, saying over and over, I am totally faithful, you're the only one for me. And most women fall head over heels in love with narcissists and couldn't even imagine being with another man. So it is soul destroying to have somebody accusing you of something you would never do. That can hook you up. But healthy men don't do that. Healthy men do not do that. They will only get jealous if there's a really good reason. And then if they were, they would express it as an insecurity in a rational manner without accusing and assuming.
And the other thing they do is they isolate you from family and friends because they get insecure about those as well. So it's not other just men that they do it with, but it's family members and friends that they get insecure around because having you on your own... You know,
totally. Hey, Rachel, we've got a caller, so I want you to stay on. We're going to pick up this caller, okay?
Yes.
Fantastic. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello, Mel, it's Julianne.
Oh, Julianne, you gorgeous lady. How are you going?
Hello. I just can't believe everything I've been listening to. It's just exactly like mine, textbook.
Do you know what, honey? They all come out of the same textbook, sweetie. They really, really do.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody who's listening in, and we've still got Rachel on the other line, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is beautiful because we're all converging together and we're, you know, saying this is how it is. So, Julianne, because you have, we've been doing some work together,
yeah.
and you're pulling out the other side. You've got a way. Can you just share?
Yeah.
Can you just
yeah,
share
well,
with the listeners?
Well, I was only with this man for 3.5 years, and funnily enough, about 11 months out of that 3.5 years, he was overseas for work. So, you know, of course, the beginning was just fairy tale. Just, finally. I was 34 when I met him, and I thought, finally. It was picture perfect. Friends with my parents for 2 years before I met him. They just loved him.
So did my parents initially.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was just this, you know, just...
Well, this guy was in the family
everybody.
Already. Yeah, yeah. And,
he could have been charming.
And I think if he hadn't have gone away overseas for these blocks at a time, I think I would have realised quicker than I did. But
mm-hmm.
because when he was away, it was romantic phone calls, romantic letters, it was just... fantastic.
Yes,
and then
yes.
we had a baby, and it all changed completely.
So how did you know? What were the warning signs when it was changing?
Well, now in hindsight, there were warning signs at the beginning. But I rationalised it all. But they weren't big. They weren't sort of abuse or
yep.
it was just little things. Oh, you know, you're really lazy. You should be doing this and this and this. And I'm quite feisty, and I, you know, stood up for myself, and I said, listen,
yeah.
I've done this and this before I met you. I'm not lazy. And I just put it down to two very independent 30-somethings moving in together. And
yes.
and I rationalised it all. And because I'd never met anybody like this before,
yes.
I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know about this personality disorder.
No, well, we didn't.
No.
Did we?
No.
And that's why people need to read up about it and learn about it, because you're out of your depth.
When they're teenagers, when girls are teenagers, before they even start dating, you know, oh, yeah.
Do you know, honey, I'm so writing a book about that, dating for teenage girls. Don't you worry about that.
Good, 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 good. Because none of my friends, you know, all my girlfriends are just gorgeous, and they all have gorgeous either boyfriends or husbands now, and I'd never come across it. So why would I expect it? Why would I expect it? And because I did have, well, I thought I had very high respect for myself, but I think maybe, you know, after all this work we're doing, I think deep, deep, deep down, I was questioning, why aren't I meeting anyone? I'm in my mid-30s, you know, why? And I think I did, you know, become a bit of a victim now. I'm kind of realising it through all this work we're doing together. Which probably, definitely attracted him, because he's the abuser and the victim. So, the warning signs were very, very, very subtle at the beginning, and this is before we got married, and they weren't enough for me to pack up and leave. It was just, you know, I just thought, well, you know, life's not perfect, and because 99% of my experience with him was absolutely wonderful. It was just fairy tale. It was loving, and well, I thought it was on my end. But it wasn't until we had our baby, and he left to go overseas for work for our baby was 2 weeks old. It was already planned. I knew it was going to happen. I had my mum come up to stay with me, so, and that was fine. But I think I was out of hospital for a couple of days, and he totally snapped at me one day. I was breastfeeding. He said, "Who do you think you are? Just because you've had a baby, do you think you're some kind of princess?" I remember thinking, "Oh my God!" But I didn't think, because he had to. I mean, he was in the army, so he had to go to Afghanistan a week earlier than he thought. So again, I rationalised it, and I thought, "Oh my God, he's so stressed out. Poor thing. He's got to leave his baby. Poor thing." I mean, in hindsight, I found out he didn't even need to go. He just wanted the money. Looking back, I can pinpoint all these times, but the big turning point, I'd been seeing a counsellor for 8 months. He wouldn't go, but I went to see a counsellor because I thought he had post-traumatic stress from Afghanistan, because he fitted into that picture. But, yeah, it's not that at all. It's narcissistic personality disorder. And but the big turning point was when he came home quite drunk one night and scared the hell out of me, so much so that I thought, I've got to get my baby and myself out of this house. And I had my mobile in my hand, but I then flashed forward to a struggle at the car with the baby, and I thought, I just sleep in the other room and I just come up with a plan. And my plan was, I think he had it 8 days before he was going to be deployed again, and I thought, I'm out of here. And I waited for those 8 days, and I remember taking him to the airport, and there was nothing. I just said, you've got to sort your head out. But I knew I was going to back.
Yes.
I got back to the house, kind of remember driving from the airport to the house.
Yes.
And I rang my mum, and I said, because at that point they thought he had post-war problems, and I said, Mum, this is abuse, and I'm getting out. And 2 days later, I packed my stuff up and the baby, and I went back to my parents. But I think about 4 months before that, we'd had another big outburst, and I said, if you don't go to a counsellor, we're finished. So I had given him one chance, and then I met it a few days before he left for deployment. He was saying, get out, you know, we've got nothing in common, blah, 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 blah. But then, of course, he had a narcissistic breakdown, or whatever they're called, over in Afghanistan when I said, we are officially separated.
Narcissistic injury, exactly.
Yeah, and breakdown, two attempts of suicide, which weren't really. But as you know, I've been through the courts and everything, but of course, being in an army town, it's all about the soldier. So then I got abuse from the judge, saying I'd dramatised everything. So anyway, we're still in the court.
And that's what, if I can just butt in, that's what can be really, really hard with the narcissistic model is that when we're still charging off the injustices and everything, energy is very, very powerful, and unconscious energy is very, very powerful. And when you're still in the victim injustices, you really can find that a lot of people around you don't support you, don't come to the party, don't get it. I've seen women over and over and over get intervention, try to get intervention orders, and they've really struggled because their whole energy is not aligned. But it's like with Sue, when she got aligned and in her power, things fell into place for her.
Well, I think I'm at that point now. Yeah, because I've got...
This is what we're working on with you now.
Yes, and it feels different. And I've got this new lawyer who is just amazing and who sent a very, very, very blunt letter to his lawyer, and it's really taking the power back. And so my parents and I last night were like, oh, sort of a little bit stressed about my mobile and if he was going to ring it and or go off the boil. And I said, who cares? Who cares?
Exactly.
I don't even have to answer it. Who cares? And he didn't call, and I don't care, and I feel really, really positive since our reading last week.
Yep.
And I don't...
And we've done some theta shifts on this as well, you know, which is all about getting rid of that fear and that anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. I think I might need another one.
I was thinking about you actually when I was correcting your homework, and I thought, she's due to go another shift, so we can give me a ring after the show, and we'll have a talk.
Okay. But I definitely feel there has been a shift already because I'm thinking everything is going to be fine with me. I'm sort of thinking he's going to be powerless, and the more the better I feel. Yeah.
And it's the illusion that they're all, I know, they're all powerful, oh my God, you know,
I was so there.
Mm. And I know you've been there, and I know Rachel's been there. Wouldn't you agree, Rachel,
absolutely.
When it's like,
absolutely.
Yep,
yeah.
I'm powerless, they're all powerless.
Mm. Yeah, and they are just so powerful. Mm. And when you finally realise that they're not, that they're actually very, very afraid, and that it's an opportunity for you to step in your own power and empower yourself, that's when it shifts.
Yeah. I'm just starting to feel it. I think I've just put a couple of steps on that track.
Yeah.
Well, let's get stuck into the next session and let's really nail it, because you're really coming up to all this stuff, huh?
But was it Bridget that was talking before? No, Rachel.
Rachel.
Yeah, it was just fantastic, your story. But I can't believe it's like they've all read the same book. It's just everything.
It is textbook, unfortunately. And I think all mothers, all women, all teenagers need to know and define what narcissistic behaviour is. And they need to know and learn about boundaries and about self-respect and how to go about doing it, because I was never taught. I mean, my boundaries were broken in childhood, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was never taught, never even knew how to go about standing up, speaking up and knowing the truth for myself and having self-respect.
Yeah.
So it has been an absolute journey of finding myself and getting to know who I am and loving the parts of me that I really love and value and letting that be seen now, because I used to hide it because it was so put down and diminished and, you know, all of that. So
Absolutely. Hey, guys, we've got another caller quickly, so you just guys hang in there and we'll just see who this person. Hello, are you there? Hello? Hello? For some reason, I can't pick them up. Never mind. Yeah, look, it is so interesting. And I think, you know, that's so true. I know, do you know what happened when I really researched narcissism and I got, because I was so smashed out of my head and there was nothing left, and I got all these profound awarenesses and I really did get downloads of knowledge and things that I was meant to get from something greater than me. But when I really sort of started defining it and categorizing it and working it out, and then when I started working with people, women that were dealing with narcissism, they would open their mouths and say sentences, and I was nearly falling off the chair going, oh my God, that is exactly the same sentence that he used to say to me.
Yeah. Well, I was just listening earlier, and so many times I'd say to mine, why did you marry me? You hate me so much. Why did you marry me?
Yeah.
Like, why? If you really hate me this much. And, you know, I just would question that so often because he obviously couldn't stand me.
Yeah.
And I just found it really odd because I come from a very loving family and have a lot of friends. And he was this person that supposedly should have loved me the most.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, hang on, this is really foreign to me. Everybody loves me.
But you know what, Julianne, you'd always been, and this is nice women, get into narcissism.
Yeah.
You'd been that sort of woman. It was hard for you to speak up for yourself and to lay boundaries, and you were always a giver.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as sensitives, you know, women that are empaths and sensitives, we can be acutely aware of how other people are feeling and really, you know, trying to fix that feeling or give to that feeling rather than listening to our own feelings and defining our own boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson,
yeah.
is to honour and value ourselves and to speak up and to lay boundaries and absolutely to be able to risk criticism or abandonment by walking our truth.
Yeah.
And being who we really are. Yeah. That's a huge lesson, that one.
It is big. And knowing that, you know, and it's really about stepping into that whole knowing of unlimited. And unlimited means that the world is full of resources that can match the vibration and the truth you decide to walk in your own integrity. So we don't need to be hooking up to and participating in things that diminish us.
Yeah.
We can say, you know what, that's your reality and I can allow you to have it, but it's just not for me. So then I walk on and I'm going to attract and maintain and create from these unlimited resources who I really am. And then your life fills with that.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
And when that comes in, it is. It's so beautiful and it's so easy and it's wonderful because I had a three-year relationship with an absolutely beautiful man, you know, and none of that stuff occurred where there was diminishing and put down and, you know, he fought clean when we had a disagreement. You know, it was absolutely wonderful.
That's what you want.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is this relationship may be coming around again. So, but you'd done, Rachel, you'd done the work, you know, to really get out of that victim. And I love what you said before, and this is the way I see it too. That narcissist experience was such a gift.
Yes. I learned so much, and I'm still learning from it, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's all about what you were just saying before about living in integrity, knowing who you are and focusing on what you do want, not what you don't want, you know, and going for what you do want.
Yeah.
And holding the boundary for that.
Yeah. And knowing you don't have to fight, participate or fix anything less.
That's right. And that's the other, you know, and we've been saying it all along, you know, I finally learnt that I'm not responsible for him, I'm responsible for me. And that was a huge one for me to let go because, like you say, women, we tune in and we tap in and we're there to help and to heal and to nurture and support and, you know, attend to needs and we're conditioned to be that way. And eventually, you know, I have finally learnt that I'm actually responsible for me and you're responsible for you. And that's all about the codependency stuff that you were teaching as well, Mel. That's a huge
absolutely. Hey, well, guys, you know what? We're out of time. What a special segment we've done today. I've just loved today. And I want to thank Julianne and Rachel so much and the people in the chat room. And, look, please come forward. I really urge you to do what these ladies have done because we don't have to suffer. You don't have to be hooked. You don't have to be being destroyed piece by piece. And, you know, look, women and men do go through this and there are women that are narcissists, but women, because we hang in there and we try and fix, get extremely, extremely damaged. Please contact me, okay? Enough's enough. You don't have to live like this and you know what you've got to do, so just do it. Anyway, heal the past. Heal yourself, create real love, and it's bye-bye from me, and I look forward to talking to you personally if you want to come forward and get help. Lots of love and all my love. Okay, bye-bye.